I want you to hear again a portion of the Old Testament reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Take to heart these words which I enjoin on you this day. All. Now let's go to the gospel that I just read. Let's hear it again. Jesus replied, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength." All. I want to tell you a story. It comes out of church history. It comes out of the 1400s of church history. I did not see it personally. Father Mario did. Ivan the Great was the Tsar of all of Russia during the 1400s. He brought together the warring tribes into one vast empire, sort of a Soviet Union, you might say. As a fighting man, he was courageous. As a general, he was brilliant. He drove the Tartars out and established peace across the whole of the nation. However, Ivan was so busy waging his campaigns that he did not have time to have a family. His friends and advisors were quite concerned. They reminded him that there was no heir to the throne. And should anything happen to him, the union that he had created would shatter into chaos. You must take a wife who can bear you a son. Well, the busy soldier statesman said to them that he did not have time to search for a bride. But if they could find a suitable one, he would marry her. The counselors and advisors searched the capitals of all of Europe to find an appropriate wife for the great Tsar. And find her they did. They reported to Ivan of the beautiful dark-eyed daughter of the king of Greece. She was young, she was brilliant, she was charming, and she was beautiful. He agreed to marry her sight unseen. Well, the king of Greece was delighted. It would align Greece in a favorable way with the emerging giant that was coming to life in the north, the Russian Empire. But there had to be one condition. He cannot marry my daughter unless he becomes a member of the Greek Orthodox Church. Ivan's response was, I will do it. So a priest, very smart priest, was dispatched to Moscow to instruct Ivan in the Orthodox doctrine of the Catholic faith. Well, Ivan was a very quick student and learned the catechism in record time. Arrangements were concluded. And the Tsar made his way to Athens, accompanied by 500 of his very best troops, his soldiers at arms, his personal palace guard. Now, he was to be baptized into the Orthodox Church by immersion, full body immersion, like we do at the Easter Vigil. That was the custom of the Eastern Church. His soldiers, ever loyal, asked to be baptized also. The patriarch of the Greek Orthodox Church assigned 500 priests to give the soldiers one-on-one catechism, sort of a crash course. The soldiers, all 500 of them, were to be immersed in one mass baptism. Well, word got out and crowds gathered from all over Greece. What a sight it must have been, 500 priests, 500 soldiers, 1,000 people walking into the blue Mediterranean Sea. The priests were dressed in their black robes and with their tall black hats, the official dress of the Orthodox Church. The soldiers wore their battle uniforms with all their regalia. Kind of looked like a Knight of Columbus. All their regalia, their ribbons of valor, their medals of courage, and their weapons for battle. Well, suddenly there was a problem. The church prohibited professional soldiers from being members of the Orthodox Church. Now, that was not true of the Latin Church. We're the Latin Church, but in the Orthodox Church, no soldiers. They would have to give up their commitment to bloodshed. They could not be killers and church members also. Well, there was another hasty round of diplomacy, and eventually the problem was solved quite simply. As the words were spoken, and the priests began to baptize each one of them, each soldier reached to his side, withdrew his sword with his right arm, lifting it high overhead. Every soldier was totally immersed. Well, totally immersed, everything was baptized except his fighting arm and his sword. My friends, that's a true story. It's the story of the unbaptized arms. I think it's a powerful picture sometimes of Christianity today. How many unbaptized arms are there here this evening? How many unbaptized hearts or wills are here this night? How many of you are sitting on unbaptized talents, unbaptized checkbooks, unbaptized debit cards? How many of you are sitting on unbaptized $20 bills or the like? It's all I got, and it's got to last me all month long. How many of you are seated on unbaptized social activities, How many of you are involved in things that, well, if Jesus came by your house tonight and said, what are you going to do? You'd go, well, You know, you wouldn't tell Jesus about that now, would you? How many of us are involved in lifestyles that are a bit unbaptized? Whether it's our sexuality, whether it's our gifts of time and talent and treasure, whether it's our bad habits, whether it's, you know, just a little bit of wagering on the side about a football game or a soccer game or whatever. Just a little piece of our life that we did not let Jesus get to when he baptized us. I'm afraid that many of us kept parts of our lives out of the water. No, Lord, you can have all of me. Well, most of me. But you can't have that. And then you fill in the blank what that is. Now I want to go back to those two readings. And the word that kept jumping out to me this week was all. All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. All. You know, sometimes, folks, we need to rethink what got wet on the day of our baptism and whether we want to continue to live in that way, leaving one little part out. Of course, part of what I'm talking about comes under the word of stewardship. You know? How do we steward the gifts that God has graciously put into our hands? Yeah, we worked hard. It was a long 40-hour week that could be 60-hour week or 70-hour week or 80-hour week. But God gave us the gifts and the talent, the strength, the abilities, put us in the right place at the right time with the right friends to be able to have a pretty good life. And God asks for a little bit of it back as a thank offering, as a love offering. Many of you who were here 2 years ago will remember that we had a goldfish bowl. And in that goldfish bowl, we placed pledge cards. Pledge cards that even to this day have never been read except by God. In fact, this week, all of this goes into the shredder. Never to have been seen by anybody but God. And next week we'll begin to put out new pledge cards, different colors for the different masses that we hold here at St. Cyril's over the course of a week. End. Because part of the visual sign of this is it's not just all red cards from one mass, or all blue cards from, well, you know that mass, or all yellow cards because, well, you know. Well, we know who goes to that mass. No. All mixed up. All mixed up to represent the fact that here at St. Cyril's, we are indeed all in this together. And just as 2 years ago, they'll never be read by anybody except God. But this is a 2 week period when I ask of you to go home, to think and to consider what you give on a regular basis to your church. I want you to talk with your spouse, with members of your household, with family members. And those of you who have children in your household, whether they be your children, your grandchildren, your godchildren, your nieces, your nephews, your grandkids, I don't care who they are. If there are kids in your household, sit them down at the breakfast room table, at the dining room table, and talk to them for 15 minutes about what we're going to do, what we are going to do as a family together to support the church that we love. Because that's where you learn stewardship, my friends. Not in a classroom, but with your parent figures around the dining room table. Next week, we'll put out the cards. You'll be able to take them home with you to think about it. Continue to mull over what God is talking to you about. And then the following Sunday, so it's the 4th, and then the 11th, and then the 18th. On the 18th, we'll sign those cards in each and every Mass through the course of the weekend, and we'll bring them forward, or if you're bashful, you can give them to a child, because they're never too bashful to bring them forward. And they'll be seated, standing on a stand right there between the baptismal font and the altar. Think about that, my friends. That's not by accident. Between the baptismal font and the altar. But where life began for us in Christ, and where life continues to grow day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. And in that process, we have to make a decision. What's God calling from us this year? Different than 2 years ago. Might be different 2 years from now. But this year, what's God calling us to do? And I also want you to tell a little short story. You can pare it way down to the kids in your household about that one thing that those warriors left out of the water of baptism because they didn't want Jesus to have any part of that. And then remind your children, if they got baptized by either Mario or myself, they usually get very wet and get very oily. Nothing is left out of the water of baptism. Amen.